You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. We are back in the building. I'm your co-host, Armand. I guess we're going to talk about that song too. All right. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. You can find all previous 300 some odd episodes there. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Instagram. And those 300 some odd episodes are everywhere you get podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, they're everywhere except for you know where and you know why. And dang, I'm kind of rusty. This what happens when you take 2 weeks off, you go on vacation. I'm kind of whack with this intro, but Doc's here. What's up, man?
Oh man, everything's good. Y'all can follow me if you want on Twitter at @Doc_BeatsS9Z. But like Armand said, just follow the show. All things CRS Podcast, generally everywhere, pretty much. ClockRadioSpeakers.com. Uh-huh. And shout out to our Patreon subscribers. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Go to patreon.com/CRS podcast if you want to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. So we took like 2.5 weeks off, roughly, like a little more than 2 weeks off. But that's because we had a lot of content for one weekend.
We did. And we still didn't release all of it.
Well.
There's still things to,
you know.
Things on the horizon. Grussel.
We didn't just record podcasts the whole time.
You know, no.
Might have worked on some music.
Yeah, it's possible. Some music going. Possible. Possible. It's 2 weeks. And then, you know, the first week was there wasn't enough to discuss, right?
Right. And then we had some logistics. You know, life gets in the way, but then, you know, we had to come back.
Yeah, life gets in the way. And that's my bad. I let life get in the way. So you can send all your hate mail to me. But no, we're back. We're here. I'm ready. I'm good. How are you, man? What's going on?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty good. The weather has been beautiful.
Best time of the year.
Best time of the year right now. We saw some concerts. Got another concert coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Busy time right now, but it's good.
That's what's up. We'll talk about those concerts in just a second, right?
Yeah, but you know, one thing that we haven't somehow talked about yet.
Mm-hmm.
Your girl Nicki Minaj.
Are we gonna start the show with this?
I want to get out of the way. I'm just kidding.
I don't think you were joking. I think you were serious.
Yeah. We could come back to Nicki later. That's fine.
Yeah. I don't want to start off with
Nicki. Should we start with the live shows?
Yeah. Start with your live shows, man.
So I saw some people live.
Okay.
That's the end of my time. I'm just kidding.
So Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, no. Like a week and a half ago or so, I went to go see Pink Sweats live in Boston at a small show. I guess you call it a club show. So we haven't talked much about Pink Sweats in the show, except I think I've said once or twice that I feel like people should really check out his work. I feel like he has two EPs out that are really good. I was looking forward to the show. What I'm trying to do now with artists as they come up, if they're like kind of in that like buzzing but not yet really like bubbling like on a mainstream level yet, and you can still catch them in a small venue, I'm just trying to go see them now, because I feel like there's a wave of artists that came through and like 6, 7, 8 years ago, and I didn't do that and I regret it, right? Like I didn't see Drake when he did his first run of shows, right? I didn't see The Weeknd when he did his first run of shows.
Mm-hmm. Right. Dang. Yo, those House of Balloons shows would have been crazy to see live.
Right. And it's like, you know, you never know what's going to end up. I mean, we knew with Drake after So Far Gone, like we would have been surprised if he flamed up. But like, you know, we thought those Weeknd mixtapes were amazing. But like at the same time, he became kind of a very different artist.
Absolutely. Yeah. I did not see this going for Abel. Not one bit.
You didn't think he was going to, you know, perform a song about, you know, cocaine on the Nickelodeon Awards. You didn't see that coming.
No, I definitely saw that coming. That's what I thought. No, I just like, no, I didn't see like dating a supermodel, having the creepy weirdo mustache. I didn't see him dancing like Michael Jackson to a song about, that's the song, right?
Yeah. I can't feel my face.
Yeah. With the fire the fire flames. And he's whatever. Anyway, pink sweats. I'm sorry.
Yeah, pink sweats. So, yeah, Marissa and I went to go see him. Who opened for him? Somebody named PJ. She's an R&B singer. She was pretty good.
Okay.
But you know, when you open for a small thing like that, you get like, you know, 25 minutes. The crowd's not there to see you. You know, you're lucky if anybody in the crowd has heard your like one song that got kind of popular. So like it's kind of rough. One thing that was interesting is even the opening acts at both shows I went, like everybody was selling merch. Like it's not just like the headliner selling merch. Like everybody has t-shirts now.
Uh-huh.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Okay.
But anyway, Pink Sweats, he's got only like 10 songs that are actually like released right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he did all 10, obviously. He did a couple unreleased songs, stuff that's coming out soon. And honestly, like, it was a ridiculous show. He has an incredibly talented band. He himself, like, he plays drums and he plays guitar. So, you know, he had to do the thing where, like, he jumped on drums. Like, you know, it's a show. Like, you gotta do a bunch of stuff. One thing that was super interesting to me is, like, for an artist like Pink Sweats, so this was in Boston, and the venue probably, I don't know, like, I'd say less than 1,000. Right, general admission, just like one big floor. But like everybody in that place knew every word to every song and was singing it at the top of their lungs.
Mm.
And I was like, wow. He needs a hit, obviously, or some hits, but like he's got something. I would not be surprised if he like makes a little name for himself. I think he's got an interesting style. But the show, like the live show itself was just, it was phenomenal. And the tickets were like $20 each.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're into R&B, and I would describe his style. I've described it when Armand was out here, we played it for him. And I think my problem is I described it as being kind of like, there's a little Weekend influence, and I should have been specific. Like there's like a little bit of like mid 2011, not early 2011, not House of Balloons, like mid 2011 Weekend influence. Sometimes I sometimes hear a little bit of Tarius Nash in his vocals, a little bit sometimes. But you know, I made that comparison to Armand before, and I think he was kind of like, nah. But we play his music for you, and you know, you're more the R&B guy than I am.
Yeah,
you were like, yeah, it was cool, right?
Yeah, I really like Honesty.
Honesty, yeah.
That's the one that grew on me.
Yeah, that's the song that that he has. I think that's like his most popular song or whatever. But I was really impressed.
Being commercial.
And for an old man like me, let me tell you what I really loved about this show.
Okay.
We were out the door 9:15.
Wow.
The show started at 7.
Wow.
Doors didn't even open till like 6:30.
Wow.
They were supposed to open at 6.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what was going on. The line was ridiculous. Expecting that at all. Yeah, general admission. But like the line was crazy. Wow. I was not expecting that at all. We showed up at like 6:15 and I was like, we're going to waltz right in. Because I was like, oh, doors opened at 6. Like, who cares? No big deal. No. But 9:15, I was like, this is amazing. Because, you know, sometimes these shows, you know, you get out at like 11, 11:30, even later. So I appreciated that. But no, really good show. If you're an R&B fan, you should check out Pink Sweats in general. But if you're just looking for like a good show to go see live, if he's in your area, it's like $20. So yeah, highly recommended.
Okay.
And then a couple days after that, Marissa and I went to go see everybody's favorite superhero, Tyler, the Creator.
You went and saw Tyler, friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Yeah, friend of the show. Went and saw Tyler. Goldlink opened first. We arrived a little late. Doors opened at like 6. Show started at 7, and Goldlink went on at 7 for sure.
Okay.
And then he was done by like 7:25. And then Jaden went on. Oh my goodness, Jaden Smith, boy.
Oh man. I know you long enough to know what that means. I know you're different size.
He's really pretentious. Like it's just dripping off of everything in his stage set. But I want to give him credit because he knows why the youths come to hip hop shows now.
What, to see him moonwalk?
Which he did. Okay. No, they just want to, they want to bounce up and down in a general admission pit to trap records.
Bruh.
That's what the youths do.
Rappers don't, like, it's weird, like, rappers dance, but then, like, the whole set, when you see them live, is one, two, three, four, and they just jump.
And then the drop happens, which made me think about the way that we need to structure some of the stuff that you and I worked on.
No.
Yes. No. Gotta do it for the youths.
No. No. I'm not jumping, so why are you?
Come on.
No, I'm not jumping. No.
There's one of those is even like perfectly like set up for that already, actually.
Sure.
Anyway.
That's great.
Anyway.
make me jump with the youths. That concludes.
You could go crowd surf.
Absolutely. I'm too paranoid. I feel like somebody would like steal my wallet.
Wait, why are you performing with your wallet?
I don't, because I'm,
you get your phone in there too.
Yeah, I mean,
no.
Somebody, who's gonna have it? It's gonna be backstage in my dressing room. Somebody could go in there while I'm on stage too.
Just like some rappers have weed carriers, you need the phone carrier.
I need a phone carrier. I mean, that's what your girl is for, right?
Here, hold my stuff.
Yeah, hold my stuff.
You like motion generally to her purse. You're like, just put it somewhere.
Just put it somewhere. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like most girls carry like big purses. You don't carry a clutch to a rap show. So I'm sure she's got the she's got the decent sized bag. You know what I'm saying? Like a phone and a wallet could fit in there.
I feel like those bags are like a Batman villain bags anyway. Like they're pulling out like an umbrella. They're pulling out like the
Bruh, I don't know how women fit all that stuff in their bags, but God bless y'all.
It's amazing.
It's never like, it's a bunch of stuff that you don't need, but it's definitely everything that you do need. And some stuff that you didn't know you needed until you needed it. But then there's also random stuff.
They didn't know they needed it till they needed it.
Nah. Sweeter available now. Shout out Jay Roden. He just hit me up the other day. That's my guy.
Jaden set was very loud. Oh my God.
That's what I'm assuming.
So loud. I couldn't tell if we got used to it or we were or like Tyler's was a little lower. Couldn't quite figure that out. It was so loud. It was loud enough that we were like, okay, because when we first got in there, the line for merch was ridiculous. And I wanted to get a Tyler shirt. So I was like, all right.
Yeah, I literally just looked at his merch list.
I was like, all right, this line is crazy. I'm not waiting in this line. So we waited until Jaden was in the middle of his set. Cause I'm like, some of these youths are going to go, they're going to want to go jump up and down while Jaden counts 1, 2, 3, 4. So that like cut the line in half and that was much better. But oh my God, it was so loud. It was so loud. And the one beat of his that I've always thought that I've liked more than others was Icon. But honestly, like Icon didn't really go off live the way I thought it would.
So it was the fade of the set.
Oh man, that was so disappointing when we saw that live. Oh,
I was angry.
Nobody cared about fade.
Nobody cared about fade. I was so mad.
No, because they can't. You can't jump up and down to fade.
Correct.
And that's what they want to do.
I mean, and there's no rapping. Like I don't know. It's at the end of a very bloated album. People just may not have heard it. I don't know.
Got some young guy named Post Malone that nobody's heard of.
Yeah. Post wasn't Post then.
He was still White Iverson.
He was still White Iverson. Yes, he was. Did you get a shirt?
I did get a shirt, yeah.
Okay. I'm looking. Which one did you get? What color?
Black. I wanted one that had, not all of them had tour dates on the back, and that was kind of a requirement for me.
Okay.
I like, if I'm getting a tour t-shirt, it's, I want the ones with the tour on the back. And I will say, so we probably bought shirts after the venue had been open for, I'm going to say, maybe like an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
And they were already out of so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ate that much
up. If you can, yeah, I was going to say, I would definitely say like the good news is like every, since it's general, like every, if is, I'm assuming the main area up front is general admission where you're going to see them.
Yep.
So like all those kids are going to like rush there first anyway.
To get a good spot.
Right, or to like figure it out, like have their friend hold something, you know, figure out the situation. So I guess if you can go early, try to get there early. But yeah, they also only had one merch table, which was just not appropriate.
Yeah, that was one thing I appreciated about the 444 tour. Jay had merch tables on every corner.
Yeah, like they were liquor stores. Yeah, the other thing was, like, this was a surprisingly small show for Tyler. Like, the venue only holds, like, 7,000. Tyler, I felt like you could have done more.
That's about where he's going to be at here.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Express Live is, yeah, about, it's an open area. The, yeah, it's about between 5 and 7. It's not super crazy. Yeah, but it's sold out. The show sold out, like, same day. So.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't really have to stress it. So, no. I mean.
I don't know. Do I want any of these shirts? I'm just looking. I'm like, they're cool, but I'm not like,
You're not like dying for it.
Nah.
That's fair. I mean, I'm at the stage now where I'm like, yeah, I'll take a tour shirt. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to do that, but I'm just trying to figure out like what I would wear it with.
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
Marissa was all set when we went to Pink Sweats. She was like, I want to buy something. I want to buy it on vinyl. And I was like, I don't know. But it's okay. She like had like a collapsible bag like in her purse just in case to hold the vinyl.
Uh-huh.
Now then we get there and it's all like he like, you know, he's got the hat, he's got the sweats, obviously, he's got the t-shirt, none of which I really wanted. But nah, nobody has vinyl.
Wow.
There's no vinyl.
The youths don't rock with the vinyl, huh?
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, and so and we got to Tyler. Tyler did probably almost a 90-minute set.
Wow. Yeah, he can do that now. What is this, his fifth album?
Yeah, is that right?
I want to say
Igor,
5.
Flower Boy, Wolf.
Wolf, Cherry Bomb.
Cherry Bomb.
And Goblin.
Goblin, yeah.
Yep, it's 5.
Set list was interesting. There's definitely a middle section for the... For the fans who have been around Tyler for a while, which is basically all the youths.
Yeah. Right. Well, they're like, older now.
Well, they're college students now.
No, they're not college students now. They're a little older, right?
I saw this. It's the arena I saw it at is like the on-campus arena for Boston University.
Uh-huh.
I was surrounded by, it was like nothing but college students. I was definitely one of like the 20 oldest people there, unquestionably. It was wild. And
okay,
I'm telling you, it's a bunch of like 19 and 20 year olds knowing every single word to She from Goblin.
Okay. Thanks for spoiling that he does She. Now I'm excited.
Oh, you like that song?
Yeah, I love that song.
Oh, interesting. Oh, I was going to tell you the whole set. I mean, the whole set list is
no, on. No, no, no,
because you don't
no,
look
no.
at set list. All right. Well, then no, I won't spoil no, too no, much. No. I'll just say there's a section in the middle where he does like some older stuff. But he also very clearly, like there are, it's so interesting. Like there are two types of ways that Tyler does songs live. Like either he wants the youths to jump up and down, or he's trying to do something like a little bit more creative.
No pun intended.
Overall, like I thought it was a really good show. I think, I would really, I guess the problem I had with him basically was like the way that he performs live to me reflects the older Tyler as opposed to the newer Tyler.
Okay.
Like he has learned how to not just always be super aggro, how to like his new stuff. I mean, I'm not even saying this in a bad way. It's softer.
Yeah, right? It is. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't perform these songs soft.
Hmm.
Which I thought was interesting. I would actually love, like, a Tyler Unplugged would be bananas.
An acoustic set would be crazy.
Yeah. It would be wild.
Yep.
But other than that, you know, you're going to hear your Igor favorites. You're going to hear a lot of stuff. There's some stuff I kind of wish he would have done. But overall, I thought it was a good show.
Okay. All right.
The one thing that... The last thing I want to say about this, and it'll be interesting to see what you think after you go see him. It is like, he has fans that are like a whole other level of fandom.
Mm-hmm. Called super fans.
Yeah, they're all super fans. And it's like, and he kind of will like make little jokes on stage about how people will like obsess over every little thing that like you could tell. I think he wants people to think that he's like so cool that he can make fun of it. But I almost think he's making these jokes so he can try to be comfortable with it.
I can see that.
Because like if he throws a bottle of water into the crowd, like people freak out. Like it's this level of like idealizing celebrity, and he's not the only one, but like being there made me realize like this is where we're at with all levels of fandom.
Mm.
And I wonder if it's like because in this era like concert tickets are more expensive. right? So you're paying more money, which means the people who are going are the super fans. And there's a psychology that we all have where when you spend a lot of money on something, you rationalize it, right? And you're like, oh, well, of course I love this thing, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like you have a very different relationship, I think, with a concert if you spend $100 to go versus if you spent $20 to go see somebody at a club.
Correct. Absolutely. Right?
And so it's just like, I was sitting there going, and I was like, wow, like I was thinking about like, you know, I was thinking about our show and I was like, we try to, you know, there are obviously artists who we are big fans of, et cetera, but we try to be like very, I don't want to say very dispassionate. We try to be as like critical in a not like terrible way as possible. What I'm trying to say is like, we try to like, if we don't like something and it's from an artist we love, we'll say it. Right. But like, I was in there and I was like, Tyler could have done anything and people would have screamed. I feel like that happened with Kanye. And I don't know if Drake's there. There are certain types of artists who have fans like that. And I wonder like what that eventually does to somebody. Like, I think Tyler is still early into the stage of his career. Like, he's always had really like fervent fans, but like he's now bigger. But like, what does it do to somebody when you could literally like go and like screw up when you do a song on stage and tens of thousands of people will cheer back at you like you just did something genius?
Yeah, especially somebody as meticulous as him. Yep.
Right. We're gonna talk about Kanye in a bit, but like considering Kanye and what we know about him, that's all. I mean, decades of a decade plus of performing in front of fans who are like worshiping the ground you walk on. That's got to do something to a person.
Sure. After a while, I think at first it's probably like a drug.
Sure.
Like any drug, you know, at first it feels great and it can be euphoric at times. And then after a while, it's just like, it's different.
Yeah. So overall, yeah, I would say like, if you like Tyler, go see him now. Like the tickets aren't super cheap, but like to me, the way the trajectory his career is on, eventually he's going to be like charging Drake money for shows, right? He's not there yet. So if you want to see him, go see him. This is in line with what I was saying about Pink Sweats. Like I'm at the point where it's like, look, if I think I kind of want to see somebody, go see them now. Because they're either only going to get more expensive or they're going to not be in their prime anymore.
Yeah. It's one reason why I didn't go see Wu-Tang that one day.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't always end up that way, right? Like Rick Ross is doing shows right now and like,
yeah,
he would be interesting to see live. Unfortunately, he like the dates that he's in my area is conflicting with other stuff that I can't miss. So like, what am I going to do? But like,
has he announced a tour or is he just doing spot shows?
No, he's got a little tour going right now.
Okay.
Because he's up in the Northeast right now.
Yeah. Yep. Canada, San Francisco, LA, Dallas, Houston, New Orleans, Atlanta, South Carolina, North Carolina, Maryland.
Oh no! Wait. This is.
Okay. He's in Detroit. Wait. Hold on.
Dates?
I'm on Songkick, so these might be different. But I think I'm going to be in Detroit the weekend he's there.
Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, wait, what is going on? Oh, I see. I was like, wait, why can't I go see him on the 15th or 16th in New York? But that's because I'm doing something else. I thought he was up here right now, but no, he's not. He's going to be, yeah. I looked at those dates and I was like, really? You can't, no dates in Boston? It looks weird to me. It's like, you think you can sell out a House of Blues in Myrtle Beach, but you couldn't sell out the House of Blues in Boston? Myrtle Beach. In October?
Interesting. Do I want to do this?
You're going to go see him?
So I do believe, actually I'm positive, I'm going to be in Detroit the weekend that he's going to be there, October 13th.
Sounds like you should go.
Do I want to go see Rick Ross in Detroit?
As opposed to?
Rick Ross not in Detroit. I don't know what kind of crowd I'm going to get at a Detroit hip hop show. I might be all right because it's Rick Ross and might be some of like the OGs there. But it's big. It's this is a big venue. This is the Fillmore. So there's a general admission main floor. There's seating. Looks like there's like balcony seating, mezzanine seating, which is okay. These aren't too bad. Okay, so main floor right in front of the stage, general admission is $38.
You know what? You're gonna be okay at a general admission for Rick Ross.
Wait. Yes, because this is a nice size general admission. Then there's a mezzanine that's $95.
No.
Then there's a lodge, a balcony that's like above it, that's $53.
Yeah.
And then there's a general admission balcony that's $28.
Oh, so you just go chill up on the balcony.
Yeah. Then the question is, do I want to stand up for a long time? Like, I got to consider all this stuff now. I don't know.
Because then you got to think, like, do I need to wear comfortable shoes?
Correct.
See, here's the problem with general admission for you. Like, what shoes are you willing to bring into a general admission?
I got some beat up Jordan ones. Yeah, I got some beaters, for sure.
I feel like the general admission in the balcony is going to be a little more chill.
Probably.
That's going to be people with, like, a drink in hand lounging against the side.
Probably a lot of weed smoke up there. Because I imagine all the weed smoke at the Chance concert came from the balcony. All of it. weed
smells.
It smells so bad.
Terrible. I hate
oh,
it.
I know. God.
There was no, so let me, I mean, amazingly, no weed, I couldn't smell any weed smoke at the Pink Sweats, which was great.
Really?
But,
well,
Tyler.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sure. Yeah, college kids, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know what I didn't tell you about the Pink Sweats show? There's this whole like middle section of a show where he has volunteers come up
mm-hmm.
to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he's not stupid. Every single time he picked women.
Of course.
And then by the end, there was one song where he had, I don't know, we'll charitably say 30 to 50 people on stage dancing while he was singing a song, which is mildly terrifying on a general admission show. Because
yes.
The logistics become a problem.
Yes.
Getting people up, sure. Getting people back down.
we are so old. These are things.
as soon as people start getting up on stage, I was immediately empathizing with the club staff. I was just like, oh no.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as he ran through sound check and he's like, so here's a point in my show where I'm gonna have people come on stage and they're just shaking their heads like no, don't do it.
Yeah.
But I was trying to think, you can kind of get away with that for if you're an R&B singer show and the audience was, I would say, majority women at the Pink Sweat show, you can get away with that. I'm trying to think of would I ever want to go to a rap concert and have a rapper pull people out of general admission and be like, rap some bars.
Have you? Kendrick does that.
Then you're gonna get a lot of, and I gotta get it. Like,
yeah,
you know,
because he did. What did he have the guy do? It was something off of like the K-Dot mixtape or something.
Oh, he had
no, it was no, he had him rap like Detox is Coming or something like that. He had him rap something super old.
Oh no! In this case, Pink Sweats was just like, sing whatever you want.
I'll sing whatever you want.
But then you know what most people defaulted to.
A Pink Sweat song?
Yeah. And then one girl tried to be slick like she was, I don't know, like this. She was like trying to turn into a duet with him.
Of course. Get your bars off. Get your moment.
Right. Everybody thinks they're a celebrity now. I swear.
Yeah.
All right. I sound like the oldest man alive. All right. We got to move on. Yeah. So Tyler, good show. To me, I mean, you could skip Jaden. I would, unless you want to see him live. Like, after seeing him live this time, I was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm not a Jaden Smith fan. I think he can rap. That's about where it stops. I don't know if there's any music of his that I think you're a bigger fan of Jaden Smith than I am. You said good things about his his last album or so.
Sometimes I'm polite. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm polite. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Fine.
Let's move on.
So speaking of carrying, having your girl carry phones in the purse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Apple's back in the building.
Back in the building, back on the map.
Yep. This is your segment.
It's a very expensive September in the underscore Beats household.
Underscore Beats household. Yo, Marissa Beats is hilarious.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, so Apple announced iPhone 11, iPhone 11 Pro, a new watch, a new cheap iPad. They showed how much money they're wasting on a streaming service that like no one's going to watch. You know, it was a busy Apple event.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So we are both get so so what actually so what phone do you have right now? You have the 10 or the 10S? Oh, you're not A+. You have the 8 nah. Plus?
Yeah.
Oh, could be time for an upgrade.
Nah.
No?
Nah. A Plus is working just fine. I don't have any issues.
Man, I can't go back to using a home button.
Like yeah, that's a, yeah. Like, so my girl has that. So she has, bro, she has like a 7 or something like that.
Oh no. Oh, that.
And then her work phone is a 10.
Oh yeah. And you're just like, so, you look at the two of them. You're like, how is this?
Yeah. Like, well, she's, but again, like my girl's like the furthest thing from materialistic. So she's just like, yeah, it's cool. And then just goes back to her 7.
What are you trying to say about me? No, I'm just kidding.
That you like Apple products.
Also, we take a lot of photos, clearly.
Yeah.
But the new 11 Pro has 3 cameras on the back. It's just pretty soon we're just going to have a whole back full of cameras, which I'm fine with. 3 cameras in the back. They showed a really cool app on stage at the presentation.
Horse, there's a horse there too.
Were you, what's that?
It said the horse is there too.
Where you can shoot video out of all three lenses at the same time, which is crazy. And I was, cause I was thinking like when we were, you know, filming behind the scenes, you know, little snippets or whatever, when you were here, we were recording, I was like, that actually would have been super useful.
Yeah.
So 3 lenses now, they took, the Google Pixel, night sight, they jacked it and made it better and call it night mode. So now iPhones are going to have that too, or at least new iPhones. And yeah, so we both got iPhone 11 Pros coming.
Mm-hmm.
And Marissa's getting a new watch. New watch alert.
Okay. alert.
If you're into Apple Watches at all, or if you've been interested in one, this is probably a good year to buy because either you don't care about the latest and greatest, in which case the one that's like 2 years old, which is still probably plenty fine for most people, is now down to $199. If you do like the latest and greatest, it's an always on screen, finally, without harming battery life. So either way, good year to jump on the Apple Watch bandwagon if you've been waiting.
Okay.
And you're getting an iPad? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I would like to, but I kind of want, I don't know, the tech nerd in me wants a Pro.
New Pro is probably next month, so.
Okay.
Hold up.
They just dropped. They just dropped the Pro
last
right?
year.
Last year.
Yeah.
My iPad right now. I think I have 4th generation.
Oh, so yeah.
I could do last year's and be fine.
You could. Yeah. I've thought about. I kind of want the mini.
I mean, it. Yeah. I couldn't. I'm like the phone's already big enough, so the difference between a phone and a mini wasn't. Yeah. I needed like some visual distinction.
Mm.
But I've been, you know, I edit video on. Mm. That's basically what I use it for, is to like control. I control like my living room with it, like the TV, Apple, iPad, like cast and stuff. Like I use the iPad for that. So that would pretty much be all I would use it for. And I would just give this one to my son. I'm at that stage now.
Oh, yeah.
When you give the old technology to the kids, oof, he's going to destroy it. Do they make Otter Boxes for iPads?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. He's going to need all of that. 2 of them.
What else did they talk about? They talked about if you play iPhone games or iPad games or anything like that at all, they announced Apple Arcade and did a really bad job of actually showing off the ridiculous games that are on it. The deal with Apple Arcade, it's $5 a month, but it's for everybody who's on your Apple family plan. So if you have like kids that like, if you all have like one big family plan and you like, so that you can share apps and so you can approve their purchases, whatever, it's $5 for the whole family plan. They, if you're on the iOS 13 beta, they accidentally gave access to it this week. So I've been playing the arcade games because they give you a free trial, the Apple Arcade games. And the whole pitch is, it's the $5 a month. There's no in-app purchase. There's no microtransactions. There's none of that. It is full-on games. Some are bigger than others. Some are like Legend of Zelda almost type games. Some are like little pick-up and play whenever games. But there's no like scummy like transactions happening in the games. And like they're all like a bunch of them are like really good and really fun so far. And I was like, and they kind of, you know, they showed off like one demo. It was like a Frogger-like game, and but there's like 100 games that are going to be on this thing by the end of the month.
Hmm.
And I was like, man, like, I don't know. To me, if you have kids who, or even if you have like, if it's like a couple and you're sharing, like you all play iPhone games at all and you're sharing like a family plan, like $5 a month for that and not having to worry about like, you know, your kids bothering you to like buy 100 coins for some game or something like that. Like, cause those games, they're so scummy.
Yeah, they are.
I heard that the 2K got even scummier this year.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It was like a casino or something like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm just going to wait. I bought 2K19 a few months ago for $3. I'll wait.
Yeah, I have 2K19 on my Switch.
That's my next purchase.
Oh, my goodness.
I literally had to pry myself from Doc's Switch because he and First Lady were like dozing off, and I was
playing Mario Maker 2.
Yeah, like I'm like they're trying to be gracious hosts and stay awake and all that, and I'm just like, no, I'm gonna pass this level.
It got even better because now Nintendo Online comes with old Super Nintendo games.
I just bought a classic.
I
rooted it.
Yeah, but you know, to play that on the go.
Oh yeah.
So I just played and beat Super Metroid again because that's my favorite. It's one of my favorite games ever. I think I'm moving on to Zelda next. But they got a bunch. You know, they out the gate 20 games for that already. Plus all the NES games are all still there too. And I'm just like, okay, it's $20 a year. I was like, yeah, sure, it's fine.
Yeah. Dang, they getting people with these monthly and yearly subscriptions.
Oh, Jesus. They just add up like, to put a spreadsheet together and part of me is like, nah.
Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, I definitely went through a month's worth of transactions on my primary debit card. And I was like, yo. Yeah, I got rid of some stuff and it's still too much. There's still some things I can get rid of.
What's rough is, you know, when it comes to streaming stuff and all these other services, like, you know, the First Lady and I have different tastes for sure.
Sure.
Like, do I watch anything on Hulu? Not really. Do I actually watch all that much on Netflix? Not really, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I watch a lot more on HBO. So like I'd much rather have HBO.
Yeah.
But when you have two people and you're sharing streaming and you're sharing like all these services and monthly subscriptions, like between the two of you, you're gonna end up like, you know, it adds up real quick.
You're just gonna get everything.
Oh.
Pretty much.
No, I'll tell you what I'm not getting. So like it's funny, this so Apple TV, Apple has the, what they're calling Apple TV Plus now.
That was gonna be my next question.
So they did something real smart. Number one, $5 a month if you want it.
Yep.
Number two, it's free when you buy new Apple hardware for a year.
Mm.
So for the Apple, if you're like me and you get a new iPhone every year, then you're gonna get it for free. But even if you don't, it's a good way. Like that's a pretty good way to. It gives them basically for a lot of people, it gives them a year to like try to like find one or two series to like hook you in. You know.
Yep.
Because otherwise, it's like, look, it's too much. Like NBC just announced today, they got a new streaming service coming.
BET has a new streaming service coming.
What are they gonna play on BET?
It's gotta be like Class Act, Baby Boy. I was telling my girl the other day, like, yo, I would pay for a BET streaming service if all of the movies that came with it were like the edited versions.
Oh, so you can have them around when your kids are on.
I mean, I just, like, I remember as a kid watching House Party on TV, watching Class Act on TV, like, just, like, the clean versions are just hilarious to me.
See, now that would be a feature for a streaming service where you could, when you search for something, much like they do for music, show me the clean versus the edited.
Yeah, and I still think streaming services have not gotten that down as good as it could be. No,
they could be much better about that, much cleaner about that. Yep. They could also just have a feature where like on a given playlist or album, you could just toggle on clean or dirty.
Yeah, what the problem is they're two different projects.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I understand like the metadata and logistical problems with that, but like conceptually, they've got all the stuff.
Yep.
They just need to wire their systems up to do that better.
Yep. And they should be. There should be a switch.
Yeah.
Because that's what technology is. It's just a bunch of switches.
That's all.
At least that's what like year 2000s movies would tell you. Like, do you remember those?
Or year 2000s hip hop videos that involve technology?
Yes. Like, do you remember like Swordfish, like movies like that that were based off of two? You would just hear. And it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And it would just
They're
be like
hacking
a
into
black,
the mainframe.
Yeah, with DOS. Like nobody. Never mind. Okay, now I'm getting on my nerd box. Like nobody was using DOS in 2000. But I digress. Are you gonna get Apple? So you're gonna get Apple TV just off the rip?
I mean, I guess I'll enable it because like it'll be like a button I click and I don't have to pay for it. But I haven't seen too much that really. I think it's a waste of Apple's money. I also think that like this is the, you know, there are really perverse, and I mean that truly, there are perverse incentives for a company of Apple size, the way that our economy works and the way that the stock market works, where basically it rewards them to try to get as big as humanly possible. And you get to a point where it's like you just have to find other stuff. Like you find stuff, yes, to spend money on, but it's also you find other stuff to potentially grow your amount of revenue, because Wall Street, they don't care. Like if you're like, oh, well, we are 300% profitable. They don't care about your profitability necessarily. They care about your potential for future growth and profit. So like you always have to be showing that you're growing. And so like, you know, for a while for Apple, it was iPhones, but like, yeah, they can still sell more iPhones, but like it's not like it was like 5 or 6 years ago where like the number of people buying iPhones was like going up like a crazy graph, you know what I mean? And they actually make, you know, they make a surprisingly good amount of money from watches. Like the watch is ridiculously successful, but like there's also a limit there. That's not the next iPhone, you know what I mean? So like there's a limit to what they're going to sell there, so they got to find other ways to get Wall Street to want to do that. It's really kind of stupid. Like it's true. Like If Tim Cook, if his strategy for the company was, here's the deal, we're making so much money that we could actually drop the price on everything and we could really focus, not worry about this TV stuff and everything else. Like from like a product point of view, people would be like, average people would be like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But like, but the shareholders and the board would fire him in a heartbeat. It's stupid.
For sure.
It's stupid. So like they're kind of wasting their money. Like I just don't, they're wasting their money, but like, you know, Apple's doing it and all the, I'm sorry, Amazon's doing it. And you see these like big companies doing it and you feel like, oh, I got to get in this.
Absolutely. Yep.
So,
yep. Yep. Yep.
Hopefully there's, you know, a couple good shows or whatever, but like, I'm not really like obsessing or really caring about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you know, winter is coming.
I mean, Disney Plus is about to come through and crush the buildings. So
yeah.
Netflix better, better figure it out.
I think Netflix will be fine.
The price difference is real stark.
I mean, if you're paying for like, I guess I don't mind. Like when I didn't know that there were different tiers of like pricing for Netflix. So, you know, my kids loved like those Planet Earth things. Yeah. My girl's daughter likes that stuff. And like watching that on regular Netflix on a 4K TV was just like, no. So, I mean, as the show's playing, I'm like, no, I'm upgrading my account right now. And I was like, oh, it's $17.
Right.
Yeah, it was a lot. But I mean, I'm not mad at it, though. I'm still not mad at it. It's okay. Because there's when I factor in, you know, I actually, out of all the streaming services, I think I use Netflix the most.
Mm.
Yeah. It's YouTube and I mean, and it's not a streaming service, but yeah. Netflix, I still probably use the most. I barely use Hulu. And then I use HBO and Showtime if something is on, some original content or documentary or something. Man, did you watch that Dennis Rodman 30 for 30?
No.
It's too much stuff out. How do you find time to watch some stuff? I don't get it.
Because I don't watch anything. I don't watch. I'm very mindful of what I watch. I'm just like, I don't really feel like it. Like, unless I have to. I mean, I haven't watched the Wu-Tang Hulu joint yet. Like, nah. But Dennis Rodman, my first favorite basketball player. Like, no. I'm going to watch it. And then I don't want to say I regretted it, but it's, you know, we don't talk about, we've had at length discussions on this show about like mental health and just like a greater awareness of like resources that people need, empathy that people need, taking better care of yourself. And there are martyrs who like died for that stuff, and they're not dead physically, but like, Dennis Rodman still needs a lot of help. And I don't even say that. And I mean, like, he needs some serious therapy. Like, he needs a friend. And like, we just kind of forget about him. Hmm. Like, it was really, really heavy. It was great, of course, because it's a 30 for 30. But like, I just thought about like, man, if he was acting the way you, when you see it build up to like what it is. But then you're thinking like, man, if that would have happened in today's environment, like things would have been totally different for him. I just walked away from it just feeling terrible for him. So I don't know. On a different note, go back to, are we done with Apple?
Yeah.
Okay. So, no, we'll wait. Cause we're going to talk about Griselda later. So I'll wait.
You want to talk about your girl, Nikki?
Yeah, let's talk Nikki now. That's cool. Let me turn this light on real quick. The sun goes down quick around here. Heroes eventually die. Horoscopes often lie. All right, we good. Let's go.
Nicki Minaj retired.
No, she didn't.
She announced her retirement. That's true.
No.
Is she retired?
No.
So it, why are you skeptical?
She already pulled it back.
Did she?
Yeah, she already pulled it back.
No, she did.
Let me find the tweet. Yes, she did. Okay, here it is. Got it. She said, I'm still right here, still madly in love with you guys, and you know that. In hindsight, this should have been a Queen Radio discussion, and it will be. I promise you guys will be happy. No guests, just us talking about everything. The tweet was abrupt and insensitive. I apologize.
Yeah, that's not her taking it back.
Abrupt?
No, that's just me, like, because it's a reply to someone who's like, you know, can you talk to us about it? What happened? You know, because her obsessive fans are asking about it on Twitter. And so what she's basically saying is like, you know, should have announced it in more like, to me, I'm reading that as like, should have been more context, should have talked about it more, et cetera, et cetera. But like, no, she didn't take anything back.
I took that as a take back, but regardless, even when she announced it, I was like, oh, okay, and today's Tuesday. No, maybe she means she's going to take a break. But it just, like, ever since the Remy battle, like, she just doesn't know what to do. And she was just talking about putting out an album a couple months ago. So you're going from working on an album to now you're going to retire? Like, nah. Maybe after this album, I could see after this album, she's going to take a break. You know, apparently she's, you know, she's married already, or she's getting married. She's been talking about having a family. So maybe I could totally see that happening. And that would actually be good for her.
Why would it
for
be
her
good?
Career? Good for her career, I should say. I don't know her enough to know what's good for her. But that would be good for her career. Go away for a while, like not do anything music related, not be on Twitter all day, not like sending the barbs after people. Like, no, go away. Go enjoy your family. Don't put out no raps. Like, let people see your family and all that stuff. Like, oh, that, I think that would, I feel like it would almost like force her audience to grow up.
The thing about retiring, oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, you got it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the thing about retiring and coming back is like, it needs to be a place where people want you to come back. There's a reason for you to come back. Right? Like, I don't know. Like, what's going to change if she comes back in a year? I don't know. I mean, I have to imagine that, like, maybe this is just not as much fun for her as it used to be.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, I don't know. Like, I think about, like, when Jay retired and then came back. Hip-hop was rough. I mean, it wasn't rough because just Jay retired. But let's just, needless to say, there was plenty of room for, like, to have Jay come back on the scene.
Right? That's like Jay-Z, though.
And that's Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, what is Nicki doing right now that makes people go, oh, man, she's really going out on top?
Nothing, which is why I think her going away would be fine. What's she going to do? Like, she's not putting out good music. She's not doing anything interesting. Like, if anything, she could just retire. Not retire, but she could, in this step back, she could still do Queen Radios. Get that on, like, a more consistent schedule, once a month, once every other week, something like that, like how OVO Sound used to be.
Or, yeah, sort of be like, she could go to, like, a... Be kind of like Joe Budden.
Exactly.
Turn Queen Radio into her thing.
Joe Budden is the blueprint on post-retirement for rappers.
Yeah, except I'm guessing she sees herself more as a Jay-Z than a Joe Budden.
100%. That takes a level of humility for what... To do what Joe did. Like, I think. Yeah, he had to like come to a realization. And I think his last album, you could kind of see it. Like, he was just kind of over it. Mm. And I think he saw, like, yo, we're not really making money off of this. Joe's always been ahead of the curve. So it's like, you know, this podcast and visuals and all that stuff is like making money. People are just kind of disposing music. And sometimes you care about it so much, you're just like, I would rather just not do it because I can't do it the way that I want to do it. But I agree with you. Like, there's no way Nicki's not going to do it, but she's still going to look at Jay. She'll do what Joe did, but she'll give Jay credit.
One thing I think was interesting, like when her retirement was announced, was people trying to like put her career in context.
Oh, I didn't see any of that. Okay, explain.
Well, and what I mean by that is like trying to like sort of look back and go, oh, like let's say she actually retires like for good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where does she rank? How does that, you know, because in hip hop, we're obsessed with your status. What's your rank?
Of course.
And like, I was thinking about it myself and I was like, man, I don't know. Like, to me, it's somebody with raw talent whose celebrity outgrew their actual ability to make great music.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, she almost became like so famous so fast.
Mm-hmm.
That like, I don't know. It's not like she's got like that early career, like Illmatic or
right
whatever to fall back on. You know what I mean?
Literally Monster.
She's got Monster.
That's the one song that all of the hip hoppers will reference that gives her credibility. And she's been getting a lot of bail shot her way because of what she did on Monster.
Mm.
And who she was supposed to be, because she really is supposed to be. I think a lot of people put her in that female J category. She was supposed to transcend music. And I think she just couldn't get over like the hump and what it takes to do that.
Well, no, she transcended music.
No, I mean, like,
she forgot about the part of make, you got to have like really dope music too. Eventually, it all comes back around to that.
You're right. Yep. Yep.
When we talk about Kanye, we should talk about that same idea, right? Like, eventually.
Yep.
People want to hear the music.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's not like, I'm not saying she needs to make like something grimy or whatever. Like, I'm saying like,
it just has to be good.
Or in Nicki's case, like, it's got to be a hit.
Yeah.
And that's harsh. I get it. But, like, that's what people are here for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think about her and the, like, I don't know. I saw some people basically saying that she was, like, the greatest female rapper ever. And I was like, is she?
Is she the greatest female rapper ever?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What's the criteria?
Sure. Does she have the best discography?
No. No. Lots of female rappers have better discographies than her.
Does she have the best out of out of the popular, we'll say quote unquote, out of the ones who've gone sort of, who have blown up and gone popular, does she have the best discography? And even then,
no.
I'm not gonna lie, I'd probably take Kim's discography over hers.
I mean, and Kim only has 1.5 good albums.
Kim's got, I mean.
No, two halves and a good album.
Yeah.
And Hardcore is really good. Notorious Cam is cool. And then what was the one that had to jump off on it?
Oh, yeah.
That one was okay.
Notorious K.I.M.?
No. That had No Matter What People Say and How Many Licks. Right. No, that was 2003. What was the name of that? This is going to bother me. Hold on. It wasn't The Naked Truth, because The Naked Truth was the one that got 5 mics.
What's the one with Magic Stick?
La Bella Mafia.
I forgot got some about Magic Stick.
Yeah.
Boy, 50 could not miss.
But I think, isn't this version, 50 didn't clear his, did he?
Yeah. They didn't do it. He's not in the video, right?
Okay, he's on there. No, that was the whole thing, is that he wouldn't do the video. That's what started their beef. Yeah, La Bella Mafia was cool. And then Foxy has Il Nana, Broken Silence was cool. If Il Nana 2 had come out, that would have been it. No, Nicki has like some of the Pink Print. And a couple songs on Roman Reloaded, Roman's Had It Up to Here, Roman Part 2, whatever her album discography was. I feel like she put out the same album 3 times. No, she doesn't. She ain't even got a better discography than Queen Latifah.
I mean, talk about someone who is forgotten about.
To me, Queen Latifah is the greatest female rapper ever. When you break down what she did, she really transcended and just like bounced. She's like, oh, TV money, bye.
Yeah, I was gonna say, by the time that I really became like a serious hip hop fan, her best days were already passed.
Sure. Nah, Latifah's Had It Up to Here, UNITY, Just Another, oh my God, Just Another Day.
What do you consider Missy to be?
I think she's an artist. I think she is a hip hop artist. I wouldn't consider her a rapper.
Yeah.
I think she raps.
So ahead of her time.
Very ahead of her time. See, so now you were talking about all the last episode when everybody was giving her flowers and you were like, just hold on. Yeah. Then we do this Timbo retro and you're like, yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm like, now I'm ready for some hot takes. Like, you know, if Magoo came out in 2019.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Magic Stick was supposed to be on Get Rich or Die Trying. What do you know?
There it is.
Anyway, anything else you want to say about Nicki?
No. We'll get a new song in like a month.
Speaking of female hip-hop artists who have taken a page from Missy Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzo, still number one.
I was going to joke and say Lizzo, but that's actually where you were going.
Yeah, we're going to go see her live on Sunday at Radio City. That will be super interesting. Talk about like 3 very different shows, like Pink Sweats in a Club, Tyler with Jaden Smith, and then Lizzo.
Yeah, look at your palette.
Trying. I mean, the Lizzo show is for the first lady, let's be honest.
I was going to say, I saw a tweet that said, Truth Hurts is March Madness for white women. That was funny.
You want to talk about your man Kanye?
Yeah. What else we got? We got Tyler. We got Kanye.
Conway and this whole Timbo conversation.
Oh, we do have a definitive 15. It's 8:00. Woof. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
so you started this whole little conversation online.
I guess. Sure.
You did. You had some observations and some questions.
I did.
Inspired by his most recent Sunday service in Atlanta.
Yes.
One thing that has been interesting to me has been like since, I would say since the Coachella Sunday service.
Mm-hmm.
The awareness of what Kanye is doing in my on my like non-hip hop Twitter has dropped to like zero. Like, because I have two different Twitter accounts, right? One for music stuff, one for not. Nobody is talking about Kanye anywhere, anywhere over there. And like, we had talked about the what we saw as like a split reaction to the Sunday service at Coachella, right? Where just to be super stereotypical, like if you haven't spent a lot of time in a traditional, especially Southern African-American church, then you're going to look at that. You don't have that sort of context to look at Sunday service and really know what's going on. Or maybe even just church in general. But like, I don't know. I've been to like Protestant churches in Connecticut before. Like there's not a lot of gospel music there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think there's, I think there is definitely a sort of a split reaction, or not even a split reaction, a split in like awareness. I think for the casual fan who obviously knows who Kanye is, I think they all, I think a lot of people tuned in to that Sunday service at Coachella, saw it and they were like, wait, why isn't Kanye going to rap? What's going on? Like they just didn't have, they didn't really know what to do with it. And so like, oh, I'm not hearing anybody talk about Sunday service, or he's got an album coming out in a week and a half. Crickets.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's very interesting that you said that, because I was having a conversation with somebody who was like very, he told me that he was being intentionally quiet publicly about the Kanye stuff because he still believes that attention is what Kanye ultimately wants.
Yes.
So to say, okay, this is what Kanye's trying to do, like if this is his perspective, and then you're saying, you know, a side that is not steeped in hip hop community or hip hop culture, or even, or maybe even, is it safe to say that that side is not too steeped in the black culture? Is that safe to say?
I think that's safe to say, yes.
Okay. And like nobody's talking about Kanye, then like, and Kanye is kind of like a bridge for a lot of these places. We talked about how many different types of people were at the Pablo show. That's just interesting. Like, if he's going for the attention or just doing something different to get people talking about him, does this mean that it's not working?
I mean, I think it's got, I think everything is an attention based economy now.
Right? Sure.
That's the whole way this works.
But then, so if that's the case, then you can't really like crucify him for that, for lack of a better term. You can't vilify him for that.
Vilify him for what?
For people saying, well, for anyone who says, well, he's doing this just to get attention. And it's like, well, we're all doing stuff to get attention. If we have a product to sell or a brand to promote.
I mean, when I read people, you know, I wasn't participating in it too much because it wasn't my conversation to have. Right. But I'm looking at responses coming in. I try to keep my eye on things.
Get the ear to the streets.
Okay. Ear to the streets, you know, E streets. And but no, seriously, and so
I have not heard the E Street since 2006.
So looking at these replies coming in, and I'm thinking to myself, what tension there has to be for any artist who, whether you are maybe trying on the idea of doing gospel music, or even if you're just straight up making gospel music, like what tension there has to be between the idea that like you are praising Jesus, but you also need people to buy your album.
Man, that has long been the tension before Kanye. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I know that. But like,
yeah,
that's not a new tension.
Agreed. That's one of the pushes back. That's one of the pushbacks from the Christian community, the black Christian community, is down to the remixing of the songs. Like a lot of what Kanye is doing, they're like, well, it's not new. So like, we're not enthused because we've been doing this. So,
well, and I think that's an interesting thing too, right? Is like, I think the idea that if it's been done elsewhere or done, if it's not new, then like, we shouldn't pay attention to it, or people need to acknowledge what came before. Like there is, there's a train of thought out there that sort of expresses that idea, right? But like, I don't know, to me, like, I'm coming at this strictly from a musical perspective, and I'm like, yeah, but if he executes something different and unique, then I'm all in, right? And like, hip hop is one of the greatest things about hip hop is that it is the truest, like, it is the truest example of the whole is more than the sum of the parts, right? Like, you can combine two things together that already existed, but when they combine, they become something better. And so I had always looked at the Sunday Service stuff as, I imagine Kanye as like a painter, you know, like you learn about painters when you were in school or whatever. There's like, oh, that you hear like, oh, this artist had this phase of their, you know, like they used this medium or whatever. Like, to me, him using gospel music or making gospel music or being inspired by gospel music, I'm sitting there excited because I'm thinking about it in the context of Kanye's career. And I'm like, oh, this is a whole other interesting slice of something that he can use as like a tool in his like palette. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, but we literally have no idea what this album is going to sound like.
Well, that's part of it, right? But like, I think when it's gospel music, I think it's like, if he were dabbling in rock and touring with a rock group and it had nothing to do with gospel, people would obviously have a very different response to it, right? Not just because it's a different kind of music, but also because like, it's that, it seems as though there is that weird tension that you and I were talking about before, like with gospel music, between you're praising Jesus, but you're also, you need people to pay attention to you to make money, which is only amplified in the era of streaming, right?
Right.
Where it's all about attention. But also this idea of like somebody coming into this subculture or even just into this area of the world, and are they doing it for the right reasons?
It's correct.
When Puff was making, like when Puff had Fuzzbubble do the rock remix with Benjamins, nobody asked if he was doing it for the right reasons for rock.
Right. Well, foundationally,
yeah,
you have to, the thing that makes gospel music is not the sound of it. What makes gospel music is the heart and the intention behind what you're saying. So though gospel music gospel music is a genre, but I think at the heart of gospel is praise and worship. You cannot just randomly spit, you know, I'll shoot you with my gun, and like most people are going to be like, well, not really, unless you like really go out of your way to say, I'm really a tough guy. You can't foundationally, it's not to say it doesn't happen, because it happens a lot. You can't say, I love God, I want to worship God, I want to worship Christ, because that's like really specific. You can't, like, the heart behind that is what drives it. So I think that's the difference between like a, like just a rock or genre music and then actual worship. And that's to me is the muddy part, because money part for a lot of people, I should say, is because like, we just don't know. All we know is what we see. So we don't know what his intentions are. We don't know if this is a like a ploy. We don't know if this is a Kris Jenner move. We don't know if this is sincere. All we know is what he's telling us, which is why one of my questions was, well, never mind this album. Like, I want to hear what the next album is going to be. Like, let's look at Snoop. Snoop came out with a gospel album a year ago. And everybody it was kind of the same tension, but not as prominent because it's Kanye. And Snoop won. Snoop had every single gospel artist you could think of. Snoop won a Stellar Award or Dove Award, which is like the gospel equivalent to like the Grammys. And then as soon as that was over, he was like, well, good getting money with y'all. And just went back to being regular old Snoop. And nobody said a word. Right. So this kind of happens. This happens quite a bit. Like, this isn't the first time this has happened where there's an artist, a quote unquote secular artist, who has church roots or has some sort of experience or encounter or whatever, or money ain't flowing in the way that it was before. Like, let's do a gospel record. Like, it's so convoluted. Somebody said this on my Facebook earlier today where they were like, I'm more mad at the position than the person. And that was spot on. is not really like a Kanye thing. Like Kanye walks into this spot, but it's this spot that's just been like, man, it's got blood on it. And like, it's been damaged a lot and it's been burned and scarred and shattered. And he's trying to stand in this place and like, people want to support it because at the heart of it, like we're supposed to be optimistic and we're supposed to, you know, hope the best for people. And, you know, what if we get taken on a ride? Because it happens all the time. You know what I'm saying? So it's so convoluted, dude. And I think that's one of the reasons why, like, I want to have a Kairos culture on it, because it's just, man, like it's way, there's so many layers. And I don't even know if we could walk away from it like on one accord, like whoever comes into the building, because it's just everybody has different opinions. And like, I'm not mad at people's perspective on it because it's just layered, bro.
And what I keep thinking is like, what if it's sincere, but it's bad music?
Correct. That's another question. Absolutely. Because it goes back to your point from earlier.
Yeah, like at the end of the day, there's a whole circus around Kanye, right? And some of that is him and his wife and his family have a certain level of celebrity. So as long as that e-money's coming in, some of that's going to be there, right? But
right.
At the end of the day, everyone is there because everyone's paying attention because of what he has done before, and they're hoping he can do it again. Like, you've seen The Incredibles before?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the scene, like the first Incredibles movie, there's a scene where like the little kid on the tricycle keeps like waiting for Mr. Incredible to get home every day. And Mr. Incredible's like, why are you here? He's like, I don't know, to see if something amazing happens. Like we're right. All that kid.
Yep.
Even though Kanye right now, you know, haven't heard a whole lot that is telling us, hey, look out now. But like, because we've seen it before, we've seen it a lot with him. Everyone's sitting there waiting for something amazing to happen. But like,
yeah.
What if this isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I agree. What happens after that? Because
this is big.
It's a big jump. Like, it doesn't seem like it has a lot of ramifications to it, but it does. It does. It does. So, yeah, if it's trash or if it's, I feel like, I mean, here's the thing. Like, we're going to, like, the audience, he's already going to have to cut through a layer of people who are already have their mind made up about him because of slavery was a choice, because of the MAGA hat, and also because Ye wasn't that good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's so weird. Like, I have a coworker, and I was wearing my Wave Runners the other day to work, and like, she was like, oh, those shoes are really cool. You know, did you just buy those? I was like, nah, I've had these for a while. She was like, what are those? And I said, they're Kanye's. And her face just turned red. And she was like, I hate him. Nah. And we had another coworker where he was like, well, he was like trying to get her to explain it. Like, well, why? And she was just so angry at him that she couldn't even articulate why. And there's definitely a decent sect of people who feel that way about Kanye. So he's already going to have to cut through that. But for people like us who, you know, we can disagree with people's, you know, belief systems, moralities, like we can hold different opinions. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, if the music is good, I can at least say, yeah, I'm as dope. Like, that's going to be the important core. But it will never. But, bro, like, it'll never be what it is. Like, if you decide to go the Jesus route, like, for real, I'd set it on Even If I Lose. Like, yo, like, the church wants you famous and popular. That's impossible. Like, it's never going to go that way. It's just not. That's just not how the gospel is wired. So, like, you're already taking a chance, like, of being, like, the greatest. You're like Lecrae. I think Cambino said it on Clock Radio Speakers a few years ago. He's like, you're the greatest rapper in a niche market, which means your cap is going to be 200,000 records. You know what I'm saying? So if that's your goal, then great. But we're looking at Post Malone, who just did 500 first week. Taylor Swift, who just did 800,000 first week. If that's your goal, you're taking an L before you even like get to the party.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about Kanye?
No, I'm tired of talking about Kanye.
Okay, good. You want to talk about your man Kanye's album?
Yes. Yes. First of all.
Yeah.
They're going to be here December 5th. No, I'm sorry, not December. October 5th? October 4th? And Conway and Benny are going to be here. Personally, I would have loved for West Side Gunn to come. I know he's not going to come to the Columbus, Ohio show. It's just not going to happen. I'm a little scared to go.
Do you have any old Tims you can wear?
Absolutely.
Okay. Step one.
No, I don't need Tims. I definitely need Army a good fatigues? Pair of running shoes. Yes. I got some camo that I can wear, but I need some running shoes. I need something light. So just in case it goes down, I can get out the club quickly. Cause where he's gonna be at is like, it's a club.
There are gonna be a lot of independent hip hop videos being shot off on the side in alleys. Is that kind of place? Listen,
okay. A lot of linking and building, a lot of ego. Here's the thing, though. Lots of linking and building.
Check out SoundCloud.
Here's the thing, Doc. Clock Radio Speakers exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opening acts are definitely pay for play.
Oh.
So that means.
How much is the pay for play?
That I don't know. Okay. But I'm sure it'll probably be like between one and two. Probably one, probably closer to one fifty. I can see that.
Okay, you said one or two, and I was like 100 or 100. Thousand?
Yeah, 100. Which means, actually, do they have a tone? Let me see online. Let me see. Which means, I remember when I went to go see, I'll never forget when I went to go see Silk the Shocker perform, and I was at the club until two.
Yeah.
I went home because I had to work in the morning. Silk ended up going on at 2:30. And then I went to work the next day and our entire department got laid off. And the first thing I thought of was, I could have stayed at the concert. Hold on, let me see if they have it on the... And now, when I bought those Silk the Shocker tickets, the website had... oh my God, it's late. The website had, like, they had it laid out. Like, hey, look, pay for play. Like, this is how much it's going to cost.
Right.
Hold on, let me see if they have it on here. Here we go, Eventbrite. Oh, there's also Benny the Butcher, Conway the Machine, and Scoob the Dog. Scoob the Dog. There's that. All right, let's see tickets. Nah.
Okay.
Yeah, nah. They got a meet and greet for 100.
Woo.
I know. I don't want to meet them that bad. It's all right. Anyway. Conway.
Yeah.
New album.
Yeah.
What's it called? Look What I Became?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Doc, you're not as crazy into Griselda as I am.
Correct.
Okay. Is there anybody out of the three that stands out to you?
Maybe Benny?
Okay.
I mean, okay. I think Wes, we talked about this show. I think West Side Gunn, I think he might have the best ear for beats.
Without question.
But I can only take so much of his voice.
Oh.
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah, he's the manager. He's Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Mm.
For sure. Benny, I think Benny has had a breakout year.
Yeah, he was he did it in New York last night.
Yeah, and I've been seeing lots and lots of photos and video and stuff from that. And Conway was kind of like the original, like Conway was supposed to be where Benny was or where Benny is. Conway was like the rappity rapper. Like he was the guy. And I think with Benny's resurgence and there was West Side just being so different, like West Side's kind of like music is kind of maybe the third thing that he's known for. It's more, I think wrestling, spending a lot of money and like his merch is way more known than like his music or just as known. But Conway kind of like, and Conway's just kind of been pushed to the back. And I think that's because he doesn't have a really good project. People would say that Rejects 2 is like his standout or his classic or whatever, but I didn't really, there's not a Conway album that I like. So I'm not gonna lie, like I wasn't really looking forward to this just because I thought the, like he can rap, but generally like his beat selection was, is pretty, I think out of the three, probably had the worst. However, we get to Look What I Became. We have, have we talked about like their Roc Nation deal and Shady?
Yeah, okay.
So I guess I just want to ask you, like, so what did you, because I don't want to spend too much time, like, what'd you think?
So this is going to sound ironic considering some of the stuff that we're doing, but like sometimes when I hear these Alchemist beats, would it kill them to put some drums on them? I swear to God. Because No Women, No Kids is hard, but imagine that with some real drums on it. And you know, I feel like I heard that No Women, No Kids and I was like, was nobody in the studio saying, A, let's put some drums on this, and B, Conway, could you rap with some energy, please? Because then that song goes from like, I don't know, whatever it is, like a B plus, A minus. That goes all the way up to like an A plus, because that would be a crazy song. That's my favorite one on the album by far. I think Tito's Back is fine. It was really jarring to hear somebody sing a hook on a Griselda song. I think that was like, what was that?
Yo, that song is really, are you talking about You Made It?
Are you talking about
Vino D? Oh, yeah, Vino D. Yeah. That was like a Shice Bub record from 2007.
I was like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
But you know, Jim Jones is not terrible on that.
No, some people got Jim Jones having one of the best albums of the year.
Yeah, You Made It is not good. Half of it. Well, look, if I'm listening to a Griselda record, I don't want to hear a trap record. Get out of here.
I agree. Yeah, there's a record on Benny's album where he's rapping double time, and it's terrible.
Black Spoons, yeah. I don't know. I think there's like 1.5 good songs here. I see you disagree.
You're really hard on Griselda. I really like the first half of this album. I think it just falls off a cliff with half of it. Like I really, No Women, No Kids is fire. Hawks is super dope. Tito's Back is hard. Black Spoons is dope. Vino D is cool. Then yeah, half of it is no. Bell's Palsy is a skit, and then You Made It is just like no. Like I don't need to hear a gangster's love story. Good for him for stepping outside of his comfort zone. But to me, with this being as short as it is, like it's kind of like it's enough. Because I know that he's going to come back out with something else like in January.
Right.
And I think they're doing like a Griselda project. I think Benny's coming out with something and then West Side Gun's coming out with something. Like they do a really good job of rotating each other out. So you're not really tired of one or the other. So, but I wasn't mad at it. This year is so light. This might end up on my list. This might be like number 10 or something.
Really?
Yeah, just not because I love it that much, but more so because
a rough year.
It's a rough year for albums. Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to say about that?
Nah. That was it.
Okay. Because we have a whole definitive 15 to do.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.